You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show.
104.5 WPJP.
Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
What up, Ms. Parker?
And welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Craig Carlisle Show. And it's the first inaugural show of 2019 that's live. Now, we've been on in 2019, but we haven't been live before. So I'm excited. And then I've got a chance to have a great guest in studio today. He's a very awesome person, very extreme person. So if you've seen anything on social media, this guy, Chris Bowers, he lives life for God, extreme. Like you do everything in life. I mean, from a MMA chokeout to bike riding to you name it, this cat is amazing. His ministry you've got, Forerunner, is a pretty awesome ministry. And our topic today is going to be right in keeping with some of the philosophies. We're really calling it, you know, prepared or available versus prepared. Because so often, out there are listening, I'm a preacher's kid. I've been a preacher's kid for 49 years. Now, my dad, like they said, he went on the glory last year, about a year ago, you know. I always watched him. Being the youngest one, I've always seen people in church doing jobs, whether it be pastors, leaders, teachers, to the janitor. Not necessarily always doing that job because they're the most qualified, but it's because they're the most available. And there's no knock on those who do those things on a regular basis, but I know the Bible speaks often, Chris, about us being prepared, that a workman is worthy of his wage, and that we need to spend time before the Lord and having him teach and show us and shape us. But so often we don't do that. We just kind of, oh, I love the Lord, and he's going to take care of us and just do all these wonderful things. But is that enough? Is that right? Hey, everyone say hi to Chris. And before you speak, just know, join the discussion. Welcome to the show. Call in. Where you can call us and reach us at 646-668-8485. Call in, ask questions. And for any caller I have today, I've actually got a Andrew Hopkins, send out your Roar EP giveaway for everyone who calls in, ask questions, call us in. Speak to us, Chris. Talk to us about this. Prepared versus qualified?
You know, I think we often feel that we are never prepared enough.
Yeah.
Or we're underqualified, or and that we'll never be good enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And in a ministry setting, that's you're really taking away who God has designed you to be. When you put limits around yourself,
yeah.
In this understanding of, oh, I'm not prepared enough, I'm not qualified enough.
Sure.
And the reality is, you know, God's going to equip you,
yeah,
regardless. And being prepared, we can prepare for a lot of different things. We can prepare ourselves, you know, for a jiu-jitsu match or,
yeah,
MMA match or,
yeah,
a race, a mountain bike race, motocross, whatever it is,
yeah,
we can prepare our bodies, our mind, our everything to a point.
Sure.
But then when it gets to the moment,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
well, the
you
moment
said.
Is,
yeah,
it's completely different. You know, sometimes the most prepared,
mm-hmm,
will give you, well, sometimes when you're like the most prepared, you feel so good, you get to that moment and you just blank out.
Oh,
or
yeah,
you don't,
yeah,
or things don't come together like you had anticipated.
Sure.
And it's not that you were wrong or that you didn't prepare enough. It just means that God's just pushing you into even more preparation,
yeah,
you know, to become better, to... Because the reality is we're never going to be completely 100% prepared,
yeah,
to do everything.
True.
You know, so we can prepare as much as we want, but then God's going to take over and go, that was cute, and now let me do it.
Yes.
And it's that we have to be cognizant enough to allow God to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lay ourselves down,
sure,
and go, all right, I think you know a little bit more,
yeah,
than I do,
yeah,
in what I need.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, when you're preparing, because that's an awesome thought, agree 100%. When you're preparing for a match, what do you take us through that? Because I know you and I talked before. You've even worn those suits that help you lose and cut weight. I mean, you run a mile. I mean, you're doing, you know, rounds and rounds in the octagon. Let's go back. So that people understand, this gentleman fought in the octagon. And I know you've offered to drain me in the octagon, bro. I'm not sure I want to step into the cage because my weightlifting trainer, Taylor Williamson, he knows you. He's heard of it. I said, yeah, you know, this guy Chris Bach goes, oh, my God, no, he's legendary. He's old school. I'm not messing with him.
I don't know about that, man.
Well, I'm just saying. But I know you, when you told me that the three things that can happen in a match, right, mm-hmm. you're either going to tap, something's going to snap, or you're going to take a nap. Mm-hmm. And various parts of that preparation, how do you prepare for one of those three realities? I mean, in the octagon, and then compare that to your preparation now for the church, because I know you prepare the same way, because mm-hmm. I've seen you minister.
Yeah, you know, preparing for the way I explain a lot of preparation for life and ministry is like that of a fight. That life is the cage.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we step into it.
Yeah.
And we prepare and we battle. We fight against opposition and
yeah.
against thwarts of the enemy. But God's sitting in the corner and he's coaching. And
yeah.
He brings you into, yeah. You know, there'll be seasons of where he's rubbing you down with oil and talking to you and go, all right, well, next time, this is what you need to do this time, duck under or
sure.
come up with an uppercut or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
God's like coaching you through
yeah.
this fight.
Yeah.
And then there's this times, man, where we just get beat. And then God's like, all right, cool. Well, now it's my turn to step up. And not that God wouldn't have stepped up the whole time.
Yeah.
But he allows us to go and do these battles
yeah.
in order to teach and train and
sure.
and guide us. But in that, in preparation is, you know, for when I was fighting was learning how to cut weight was a science.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I had to back out of several fights because I was learning how to cut weight. And I would dehydrate myself so much that I was shaking on the bench
wow.
and like thinking I was going to die.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
you know,
yeah.
just crazy. It was just stupid. And, but then the more I learned more about my body and preparing my body,
sure.
It became a little bit easier.
Yeah.
You know, I learned how my body reacted
sure.
to certain things. So,
yeah.
2 weeks prior to, weigh-ins, I would start drinking twice as much water as I normally would.
Okay.
So I was doing about 2 gallons of water a day of distilled
sure.
water.
Sure.
So it kind of depletes all your minerals and everything out of your body. Super healthy.
Yeah.
And then train during that time. So what you're actually doing is shocking your body.
Mm.
You're pouring into your body as much water as possible.
Sure.
And then you train and your body pours, just dumps out all the water
mm.
and then you drink all this water again. So your body goes, oh, I'm going to get all this water back. So the day before weigh-ins, you do your thing and
mm.
You go into the sauna with the sauna suit on. This, you rub Albaline on, which is a makeup remover. It opens up your pores.
Right.
Put a sweater, sweats on.
Yeah.
And you sit in the sauna for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you go out and do cardio for 30 minutes, light cardio, back and forth.
Wow.
And you do this for until, you know, whatever, how much weight you need to cut.
Sure.
So typically for me, it was 15 to 20 pounds in 24 hours is what I would cut.
In 24 hours?
In 24 hours.
Wow. Okay.
And so, but that took a long time to learn and prepare myself for that. And likewise, ministry, it took me a long time to be prepared to be able to minister the way God wants me to minister to people.
That's good.
There was a lot of failures. There was a lot of, oh crap, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Sure.
Or
sure.
With my personality, I, you know, I would not degrade people,
sure.
but they would go, oh, I read this book. And I'm like, oh, that's really cute. That was a really flowery book, and it was really feminine, but it was made for guys. And people would be like, you're a jerk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a lot of apologies in my preparation of learning how to minister well.
Sure.
But without those failings, you don't grow.
Yeah.
You know, you have to learn to fail. You have to get to the point of your goal is to fail.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because if I'm not going to push myself to fail,
sure,
then I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to learn. And that was my learning curve through fighting. You know, I had losses. I had wins. And in jiu-jitsu tournaments and losses and wins and getting promoted in my belts and then yeah. talking with people that are just starting jiu-jitsu and they love it so much, but they go, oh, I get so frustrated because
sure.
I'm getting tapped out all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're a white belt. Like,
yeah.
The
yeah.
difference between you and I
yeah.
is I've been tapped out a lot more.
Sure, sure,
you know?
Sure.
And they're like, oh, okay, well, I wouldn't be at the belt I am at now if it wasn't for all the beatings I've gotten. You know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I hadn't had all the spiritual beatings that I've
that's
had,
good.
You
that's
know,
good.
With through the enemy and through God's spankings.
Yeah.
And God's spankings are tough, but they're good.
Yeah.
And you got to learn not to think that God's after you
yeah.
and mad at you and angry with you because
yeah.
there's nothing angry with God
yeah.
about you, you know.
Yeah.
All of his wrath was taken out on Christ on the cross. And if that was the case, if we truly believe that the wrath was taken out on Jesus, there's no more wrath to be given to us.
That's good.
You know?
That's good. That's
so
good.
Everything is good for our favor.
Now, because, man, you said so much good unpacking there. When you're fighting, obviously the enemy, but in this case, you probably feel like you're fighting yourself, right? When you're doing and saying what the Lord wants you to do and say versus what Chris wants to do and say. And I know people say, I learn more in a loss than in a win. Where have you been able to apply the win to where you are? And where have you been able to apply the losses to where you are now?
Spiritually?
Yeah.
Or,
oh, just in general.
Okay.
If we were to have a match right now, I mean, those who are watching this online, right now, there's no way he and I could do any MMA right here on the mat. There's no way. Because I need to be able to walk the rest of the day. But there's no way I could tap you here. Ever. But because you've learned how to do that. So now, equating it now, how the devil cannot tap you quickly because you already know what the trick is.
Yeah, you know, in matches and in fights and stuff, losses are tough. You
yeah.
know, we talk all about preparation and stuff, but there's always that haymaker that comes in and
sure.
you're like, what the heck? I didn't
sure.
prepare for that.
Sure.
Or you may have prepared 1,000 times for that
sure.
and it still got through.
Sure.
I remember I was competing in Worlds, Jiu-Jitsu Worlds, a huge competition. And I lost my first match and it's one and done. So you pay a lot of money and you lose one match, you're done.
Wow.
And I was coming in with a just mindset of like, you just relax, super chill,
sure.
you know, don't be super aggressive, completely different than what I normally play.
Yeah.
And we got a hold of each other. We're fighting grips. And a dude threw a flipping flying arm bar on me.
Wow.
And I lost. And I walked away and I was so mad and I was angry. I'm like, how did I lose to that? And the dude, I mean, it was a legit, but it never happened again.
Yeah, yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, you learn once and you go, that's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
So you train for that.
Yeah.
Or you're cognizant of how the person will move
sure.
during that time. You'll start to see their body movement. And it's just like us in the our spiritual walk when the enemy comes at us is we know what they're going to do, what the enemy is going to do. We know the walk. We know the body position of the enemy, so to speak, of like, oh, this is how you're going to come at me. There's in jiu-jitsu and fighting, there's people that you have your MO, you have your submission that you do, that you're really good at, you do it, and it doesn't matter how good or how much you defend that submission, they still get it on you.
Yeah.
Like, that's lame, you know? But that's the thing is, like, they're so good, and they're so good at that one thing that they get it on you. Well, the enemy is the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, spiritual enemy is so thing.
Yeah.
They're so good, the one thing.
Yep.
And if you know the one thing, you have every tool in the bag to defend it.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, we have angels upon angels upon angels, far greater power than the enemy.
Oh yeah.
You know. God's still creating.
Sure.
The enemy is not.
Well, that's good.
You know?
That's good.
And so if we know that, the enemy's not creative. God's still creating. So he's still creating ways to defeat the enemy that the enemy is going, well, I just can't. I can't do that.
Ooh,
you
that's
know?
Good.
Because God's preparing us throughout our life to be warriors, to be more than conquerors.
Yeah.
You know, not just be fighters.
Yeah.
Fighters lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
But more than conquerors never lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're always fighting from victory, not towards it.
That's good. That's good. Oh, man, we should take a break. I hate breaks. I know we're supposed to take them. All right. So tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. Where's my screen? I know where screen is here. Ah, there it is. There's my screen. Ah, we have a caller, too. Caller, hold on the line. We're going to get you one moment. We're going to go to break. Again, you're listening to the Raising Men's... Oh, I gave the wrong title. I always said when I do these multiple shows, I'm going to get a sticker. And I did it on Tuesday for my Tuesday show. I put the sticker up so I knew what studio I was doing for what show. You're listening to the Craig Carlisle Show. And my in-studio host is Mr. Chris Bowers. Man, outstanding guy. We'll be right back after a quick break.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
Welcome back to the Craig Carlisle Show. Hope you all are enjoying us today. I know I'm enjoying us today with Chris Bowers in studio with me today, and we're talking about being being available versus being prepared. And so often in life, we are available with our time, we're available with our talent, we're just available in churches and in life, but we haven't put the preparation in. And Chris has been taking us through a lot of, through his life, and just being reminded what it takes to be prepared for not just the octagon or a bike race, but in general how a loss helps and how an opportunity to hear from God in a loss and in a win has been helping him through his time and become a better man. So, Chris, we're continuing that conversation with where you were leading off, where being in the match, being ready for jiu-jitsu, and you take that loss and you watch the body motions of the enemy, and he's got that one thing he's really, really good at, which is prowling around like a lion, because he's not a lion. Obviously, we know that. But so often we get tricked. Fear, for me, is the big thing. Anything that the enemy can do to make me afraid is, he's got me handled. That's his one trick for me. And I'll share a quick story. And when I was a young kid, nightmares were, or people call them night terrors now because they're really fancy titles, right? I used to have nightmares that you would not believe. I would wake up and it would be still going. I could see like creatures and bugs and snakes all over my bed and all over the floor. And I would just jump out of bed and I would run throughout our house to whoever's bedroom, whether it be my brothers or my sisters or my parents, whoever would let me, you know, give me salvation and rescue. Mm-hmm. And I would stay there until they went away, to the morning, normally. And I remember distinctly there was one night where my brother stood at the foot of my bunk bed. I slept on the bottom bunk. And there was a light from behind him. So just all I saw was a silhouette of a person. And I called out to whoever it might have been, and he never said anything. So he scared me into staying in the bed. I was like somewhere between 5 and 8. I promise you, until I was about 45, probably, you know, 40 plus. It was like it was after, right about the time my wife was sick and passing away, I found out he admitted to the fact that that was him. And he had heard me tell the story for years that it terrified me. It set a pattern of fear in my life. And when I found out that it was him, what the enemy made me so quickly come into agreement with was that someone that I thought was a father figure and protector in my life said that it was okay for me to be afraid. Mm. And I later shared with him, he was shocked that that was the end result. Mm. So I've been so easily come into agreement with that feeling. So even now at 49, I can still feel when fear is coming. And I know that's his one trick. People who know what the one trick is, how do we get beyond that one trick and eventually turn that submission hold against him?
Yeah, like you, I grew up having a lot of nightmares and seeing things and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's progressed throughout my life. And without going into too many details of things, really what overcoming it is all about your identity.
Yeah.
You know, fear is just meant to scare you. I mean, that at its core, that's it.
Yeah.
It's just scare. And that's what the enemy is only able to do is scare. You look at Goliath. What did he do? He only was yelling at the Israelites and just yelling, like putting fear in them by the word.
Sure.
And by intimidation, you know. But that's all. So it's understanding your identity. And how you do that, and it's taking on the mind of Christ, you know. You know, people go, oh, you know, I read my Bible and this and that. It goes way deeper than just reading your Bible. You know, it's contemplative prayer. It's sitting in a prayer closet and just sitting there going, God, show me, teach me, grow me, whatever it is. And teach me about myself. Teach me who you want me to be. What are you growing in me, you know? And it's there where you really begin to understand the mind of Christ, you know, because fear, stress, anxiety, anything like that, Jesus took it to the grave.
Yeah.
That's just the reality. Like, He took it to the grave, and yet we want to unbury it. We want to dig it up.
Oh my God, that's good.
We want to dig it up and hold it as a mantle of honor because, oh, the enemy's after me. Oh, I'm so stressed and I'm so worried about this. I'm like, yeah. Well, dude, that's not the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus never thought of that.
Yeah.
If you're thinking that, that's not Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? You know, there's obviously healthy fears. You know, there's when I go on a race or mountain bike or train or whatever, there's that healthy fear of going, you know, there's a huge jump. It should be good. You know, I trust my ability to ride. And,
sure.
But there's that little fear going,
yeah.
If things go wrong, it can be bad. But that's also wisdom.
True.
You know?
True.
But we're born again, you know. In Greek, it means born from above.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Now, our old selves were buried. All of our fear, all of our frustrations, all of our anger, all of our addictions, all of everything was buried in the grave. And the only thing that can be resurrected is all the goodness, all the favor, all the blessing, joy and happiness and strength and fearlessness and intrepidness. And that's what is resurrected, and that's what preparation, what Jesus is always preparing us for, is this preparation to understand who we are and going, no, you're strong.
Yep.
No,
yep.
You're fearless. No, you're this. No, but I think it's sometimes we just don't believe them. You know, there's like.
I think it comes up like, remember the old movie Pet Sematary?
Yeah, I never saw that.
Okay, so it's not a movie that we should go out and watch. So
no,
I'm just saying,
no.
So those who may have watched old movies, I used to be an old scary movie guy. And Pet Sematary was a movie where if there's anything that you loved that was living, mm-hmm. that died, you go bury them in this cemetery, this pet cemetery. And over a day or whatever many days, because I'm going to go back and find that length of time because it may be prophetic. And I bring some because you mentioned it, that when they buried it there, that thing would come back. But it would come back as a lifeless, soulless beast and a creature, and it would terrorize them. So the thing that we wanted so much, like you mentioned, that Jesus died, and he went to hell with those things, but he came back. But the stuff didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And man wants us to believe that we can bring back and resurrect our past, our junk, but it's usually worse when we go dig it up and try, like you said, wear it as some type of medal of honor that, oh, see, I hold this. And it's then when we let it go to Jesus the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny that so many Christians try to disciple their old self.
Oh, man.
And why are you trying to disciple a corpse?
Ooh. That's good.
You're discipling your new self. So
yeah.
That means you're discipling more joy.
Yeah.
You know, you're discipling who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
You're discipling the way you see people through love and through compassion and through grace. Those are the things you're discipling to be better at, to grow in.
Sure, sure.
And when you're discipling your old self, your dead self, it's not getting you anywhere. That's why so many people are like, oh, I just feel stuck. Oh,
yeah.
I just feel,
yeah.
Well, duh, dude. You're like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Sure.
Like, that's not who you are because your old self is dead. You know? You're made new. You're made new. And I think for a lot of people, a lot of Christians, that's the starting place, is you're made new.
Sure.
Start discipling the new person.
Let me ask you a question. So with that in mind, how do you, I mean, we're not super spiritual here, so we do just talk real. When you get to that point, I give my life to Christ, or I'm really wholeheartedly even rededicating my life to Christ, and you have those moments when you really don't know who you are. Because I suffered from those moments when you go, you know what, I just don't feel like I know who I am anymore. Because I'm going in a place where the Lord has never brought me to. How do you deal with those moments when you just don't have any past to draw from? Because, you know, like you said, when you train or when you ride a bike, there's certain, there's a way you pedal uphill, right? There's a certain way you attack a hill in a corner or prep for a jump.
Mm-hmm.
If that jump is farther, bigger, stronger, or if that opponent you've never seen before, how do you prep for something that you've never really had any experience with anymore? You're learning that new you've been discipled. How do you become better and prepare yourself for that learning?
I always love looking at the goodness of God in my past.
Yeah.
That's what's helped me. I mean, we all go through seasons of going, dude, I don't know. I don't get it. You know, I mean, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, you know, I left as a pastor at a church, and I was just so frustrated. And, you know, I went to seminary and got my degree to continue being a pastor and preparing myself for it and this and that. And I found myself not in a church setting, not in the constructs of the four walls of a church.
Sure.
And just going, well, God, I know you've called me.
Sure.
But yet I don't get it. I don't know. It really left me. I mean, this is 2 years ago. It left me going, well, I just don't get it. I don't know who I am anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
You know?
I get it. Yeah.
And I was so broken. I was so broken. And God just took me on this journey for the next year, you know, of really getting at the core of who I am and going, you are not meant to be in the walls of a church. You are this, you are that. And going, all right, well, if that's not who I am, then who do you want me to be and how do I become that person?
Yeah.
You know, we don't become who God's called us to be if we're not asking questions.
That's good. That's good.
You know, God's not afraid of your questions. So there's been times of me questioning. There's been times of me yelling at him. I mean, there's been times of me downright, dude, God, if you're not, you need to do this or I'm done, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not threatening God.
Yeah.
But it's like God knows our heart, you know, and he's not afraid of it. And it's in those moments of why are so many Christians so afraid of honest prayers?
Well, I think it's because most of us aren't honest with ourselves, you know,
if we're not on, like, have these honest prayers.
Yeah.
Things sometimes just don't change.
But we're taught, I mean, I know in the Bible, right, Matthew 6, right, teach us how to pray. I mean, there's the Lord's Prayer there. But so many of us get caught and twisted on what the pulpit prayers are, right? Long, like the Gentiles, and in front of people, and just Jewish leaders, and it's so flowery. I can't pray like that. And so often, as men, we're not taught to be real, right? We're taught to be tough. Most of the time, if I were going in the octagon with you to train, I'd put on this front like, I'm going to fight somebody. I'm bad. I'm going to make it through. But in reality, scared to death. But most of the time as men, we're taught to don't be afraid. Put some dirt on it. Be done. Get up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not taught to be authentic. We're not taught to be real with who we are. So that's a mind shift. When you talked about identity, for most men, we have to then get to the part where we really understand who God wanted us to be and love us.
Mm-hmm.
So that journey you went on, I get that.
Yeah, you know, it's if we look at Psalms.
Yeah.
I mean, sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
How often was the authors lamenting and angry and frustrated?
Oh, yeah.
But then it turned into gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, there's a cycle of this sucks. I'm so tired. I'm mad at you, God. You need to take care of these fools, and you need to take them out. And
these kids of mine.
I curse my enemies, you know, and then, you know, 3-4 verses later, but I thank you, God.
Yeah.
I thank you for this. So it's not, it's so essential for our growth and preparation for ministry, for our life, is to have these honest prayers with God. And when we have no idea what's going on, when our heart is so burdened with life, because, you know, John 16:33, you will have trials and tribulations.
I'm going to stop you. Go ahead with my guess. I hate that verse.
Really?
Yeah.
But take heart?
Not that part. I hate the first part, that you'll have trouble.
Yeah.
Because I'm so tired of having trouble. But I know what you're saying. I just being honest.
Yeah, but here, I mean, shift your mindset and your perspective of this.
Yeah.
Every trial and every tribulation comes with a blessing attached.
Yeah.
Comes with favor attached to it. True. So instead of going, God, take me out of this,
you
should go, God, what do you teach me?
Yeah.
And what's my blessing out of this?
Sure. Sure.
You know? And that was the process for that year of, all right, God, like, I'm gonna run into these situations because I know who I am in Christ. I know that I'm more than a conqueror. I know that there's a blessing attached to it.
Sure.
I know that there's an ending to it that's far greater than what I expected.
Yeah.
And, you know, during this journey, I stopped being frustrated. I stopped being angry. I stopped being stressed. I stopped being worried, you know, and going, dude, God, you're so cool. Like, look at the doors. And I stopped looking at, well, look, all the flipping doors are shut, you know, to going, God, look at all the doors you opened.
Yeah.
And look at where I'm at now. I mean, last year, I was back doing hardwood flooring and doing construction stuff I hated.
Yeah.
The people were irritating. The job was irritating.
Sure.
Everything about it irritated me.
Sure.
And God kept taking me back to that job to teach me, teach me something. And last year, God's like, you don't have to go back. You finally learned. 14 years later, I finally learned what I needed to learn in that situation.
Wow.
And it was learning to see people through the lenses of Jesus.
Mm.
We can see people through love and compassion at church all day long.
Sure.
But the real world is completely different. Jesus didn't come here to give us a ministry, but to transform us into ministers.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? And so, I had to shift. I changed my mindset, changed my perspective, and instead of being negative, because if we are in Christ, nothing should be negative.
Yeah.
Everything that comes out of us should be positive.
Yeah.
You know, and so. I didn't have to go back to hardwood flooring. Got a job at UPS loading trucks.
Sure.
And 6 months later, on the seventh month, I got into a new position of plant engineering. And so I'm building a facility, and a $420 million facility I'm helping build.
Wow.
And it's in really going, this is what my preparation for these years have looked like. And for the time being, this is my calling. This is my ministry. Not to compartmentalize what ministry looks like, but this is where God has me in the real world with real people, impacting them in the way Jesus wants me to impact them.
Sure.
But I had to go through all this other crap to prepare me for this moment now. And it's becoming that transformational leader in a workplace ministry, you know, and going and being okay with it, and being okay with, you know, having a seminary degree,
yeah.
but not even working in a church.
Sure.
And being okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, we have to get to a place of being okay where God has us.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it. I'm going to do what I don't ever like to do, which is take a break. I hate breaks, bro. I really do. I love the conversation. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to the Craig Carlisle Show with more with Chris Bowers. And those of you who are on Facebook Live with us, hey, shouts out to you, Luther and Christine. Alan Morgan, soon Ava's on season out there for a minute, so your wife's out there watching.
She was.
But we'll be.
She got tired of me.
She got tired of you. Well, she's married to you, so she gets to see you, no problem. But we'll be right back.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC.
Hey, everyone. My name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I'm listening. The question is, are you listening?
Sometimes.
Why are you listening all the time?
I don't know.
The show ain't no stuff.
And you're listening to the Craig Carlisle Show. And those, of course, are my two youngest boys and I just mess around in the studio acting silly. Oh, my gosh. So as we're going to the last segments and we're waiting for Shel T to call us in for Shel T's Comedy Corner, we're going to the parts where the help part, the extra help part, the part where we're leading and shaping this thing. Because I know there's a lot of guys and men and women that are out there like you. Those are come from backgrounds that are tatted. I mean, those don't know. This gentleman's got great artwork, you know, this body art. But there's just what I'm looking at, a lot of our commonplace pastors are that they don't. Not a lot of them have the tattoo art. Now, there's a lot of new ones that are coming up that are springing forward, and the millennials and beyond, and this whole Z generation that have tats, that are doing the things that are biking, that are doing the things playing, you know, doing MMA and extreme sports. But and you're relating to all of the people who initially were displaced and underrepresented and not being served. Mm-hmm. How do you speak to those people that may have felt for years that they were alienated and that God didn't hear them and maybe God didn't have a place in heaven. Maybe he had a special place in hell just for those that were tatted. help those like that know that there's hope.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've been there, done that. I've been kicked out of a church for being a fighter and having tattoos and being divorced.
Wow.
Literally kicked out of a church. Found my place at another church who accepted me. And it really put a lot of bitterness in me for a long time of going, dude, Christians, some Christians really suck, you know?
I only laugh because I just posted something similar like that to a friend, Michael Gross's Facebook timeline about some bad people. I said, sometimes you just suck. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. But to understand that Jesus is for us and not against us, is all we need. You know, there's people, there's like-minded people, there's a growing population of people like me. And it's not segregating people with tattoos or do stuff.
Yeah.
It's we're finally realizing, I think the church is finally realizing that to minister to people means to all people, not just what they want to see or who will fit in a church.
Yeah.
But to go, man, everybody is welcome, you know.
Yeah.
I was at a golf course and I had a membership to, you know, whatever. And I went in there with just my T-shirt and I was just going to hit some balls in the range. And I was with my friend who just got off work. He had a collared shirt on and he goes, oh yeah, I have my membership and you know, we get a free bucket of balls, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, okay, cool. Here's your bucket of balls. I'm like, oh yeah, I have my membership. And she looks at me, looks up and down. She goes, well, I need to see yours. I need to see your membership. And
she was questioning you because you were tatted?
Yeah. And I'm like, what? Like, you didn't ask him. And she's like, well, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't understand.
Ooh.
Needless to say, the manager came out and handled it.
Wow.
But it's so much in our church is the same way. Churches that hold this understanding of like, oh, you're one of those people.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And man, I love who I am. I love who God's made me to be. I love way I'm designed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You have to love yourself. You have to love yourself because Christ first loved you.
But that's not the way men are taught. Because you and I have talked before, and I would say you have always been an inspiration to me. Because from the moment I came to Center Point Church, you have been the same.
Hmm.
Win, lose, or draw. Love it or leave it. You're Chris Bowers. You've never put on airs and adjusted who you are. Now, I understand that now God shapes and we do change. Yeah, so I'm not saying you've always been the roughneck.
But you're
the roughneck. And what I think has been different, I can definitely tell, is that there's a different piece about you now where you're comfortable in your own skin. For so often, for me, I know my skin hurt and it didn't feel like it was the right size. You know? And until a man or a woman, until we get to the point where we're okay with the suit that we're in, the skin that we're in, we're going to be stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole thing is you belong.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the simple thing is that Christ died for every single person.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless of past, regardless of what you look, regardless of anything, Christ died for you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna change in. We have first I have to thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. We've been chasing after this thing for quite some time. And between your schedule, my schedule, these kids' schedule, life, it's just been getting in the way. But you and I spoke about some things off air. We won't talk about on air now until the Lord says, yes, that's when we talk.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I'm excited because in a lot of cases, I feel like you were this in a different way. Being a widower makes you in a different club.
Mm-hmm.
It's a club paid for by blood and death. It makes you feel like your membership is different. It doesn't let you in the same places where you go without people looking at you kind of sideways. So some of those moments where you may have felt alienated, I can relate. It's different reasons, but the feelings to me, I think, you know what? I think I can probably say, yeah, your alienation probably feels, yet alienation is alienation, period. So we're going to do this again really soon. And I know we have Shelty's Comedy Corner coming up, and we're close on time, so we're not going to go to break. We're going to do something out of the ordinary. We're going to bring Shelty right on the line. So, Shel, I know you're listening out there. I'm going to bring your mic live. Shelty, are you out there?
Shelty is in the house.
Well, say hello to Chris Bowers as you go into the Comedy Corner.
Well, hello, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm
awesome.
Good. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. I'm excited. I'm moving. We know how fun that could be.
So, Chris, as you know, Shell T, she's a comedian. She's been a comedian for about a decade or more. And the 22nd of December, she just did her first DVD recording, live recording. Mm. And you talk about anointed person, a great comedy person. This lady right here is amazing.
Nice.
Absolutely amazing. And
Shell,
I'm not
going to
tell you about the kids, because Chris got a bunch of kids, too. And
Oh, Jesus. We are all in this together.
Yep. Shell, tell him the story when you almost took your kids out. Because he's an MMA fighter, so he understands the whole choke out, so he may be able to give you some pointers on your choke out.
But you mastered the choke almost to death. You know when to let go. You're in a good place.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone today.
Mark.
You're good. I need to get some more tips from you because I have people calling. They're interested in finding some new ways to get their attention. I was just talking to a lady today, and I told her, I said, you just got to understand, it's not us, it's them. It's okay. You're not by yourself. I looked up teenager in the GIFs. You know, when you look for the GIFs on the social media, and the pictures of the teenagers were just kids rolling their eyes and having attitudes. And I said to myself, I said, you know what? This is so amazing. It's so clear that it's not just mine. I'm not doing this by myself. But I need to let other parents know that you are not alone. I am here with you. Kids are amazing, and they're wonderful, and they're smart. And, you know, you realize all of that when they get out your house. I don't know. You got to understand. I've just been in an amazing place, just understanding personally that, you know, kids are the same pretty much everywhere they go. But we serve an awesome and a mighty God that keeps them moving, going, and us out of jail. Can I get a witness? That's all I need. Can I get a witness?
Yes. One or two witnesses up in this room, at least.
Well, if you have daughters, you're still walking the line of prison. You know, my oldest is 17 with a boyfriend, and we went to the movies the other night. My goal is to scare them all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep them on the toes.
You have to, especially with daughters. You got to let those guys know that, you know, jail isn't anything to you. You don't mind doing time. You should get a T-shirt.
Yeah.
It says, I don't mind doing time. It's okay. I have a 17-year-old. He's going to be 17 for another 7 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days.
Not that you're counting,
18,
of course.
Not that I'm paying attention. But, yeah, 18 is right around the corner. And you know, we did an amazing thing. God is so awesome. He actually bought a car. He has a vehicle, so when he turns 18, he can just drive away. And it's so much easier to put his stuff in, and, you know, you don't have to worry about a bunch of bags. You know, just put it in the trunk, backseat, whatever you need to do, and go about your business. Yeah. But, yeah.
Are you going to buy him a gas card at least?
Oh, who buy who a gas card? No,
What?
I'm gonna buy him luggage. I'm gonna have something for him to put his stuff in. How he gets it to where he gets it, that's on him.
She's like, I don't care where you go, you just ain't staying here.
You just gotta go.
You just not staying.
You just gotta
here.
Go.
Like I said, my kid walks around the house like I live with him. And not only that, I live with him, but I live with him and I'm behind on my rent. That's how he acts in my house.
Come on, Cheryl. It's not that bad, right? I mean, he does give you a roll of toilet paper every now and again, right?
Man, I have to make him buy his own toilet paper. Then I had the audacity to ask him for a roll, and he looked at me, dang, you don't have no toilet paper? Little boy, let me tell you something. I will shove this roll of toilet paper down your throat. You ever act like you would buy toilet paper all your life. Seriously, I'm telling you, I wake up in the morning and I have to make you speak. I say, okay, this will be the last morning you have to worry about. Let's see if you wake up tomorrow. You need some problem saying good morning. But it ain't no problem. Can I fix me something to eat? Oh, ain't no problem talking then. We ain't got no problem then. We real vocal.
Did your son really think you're serious about 18 and he may have happened to go and drive away?
Am I serious?
Did he actually believe you, though? Because I think he thinks you're playing.
Oh, yeah. No, he don't think I'm playing. He's number six. He's six out of seven. He know where the rest of them at. He just think he going to get out there and be smarter than the rest of them. So he don't worry. He ain't worried about having a lead. He got this. But he knows. I move you like a doggone bus driver in a transit center. We don't. You can go. No.
That is crazy. Chelsea just finished her first live DVD taping of So Many Hats.
So Many Hats.
So, what's up next? What's up next for So Many Hats?
So Many Hats, the DVD will be released soon. I am under new management. So there's a bunch of things that are happening. So everybody please stay tuned because it's going to be bananas.
Keep us posted. You need to stay out of jail because, you know, we're going to be giving away DVDs or a sign. We don't need them to sign an orange pen. We know you're
right.
Not orange. You're not like
prison
like
number,
Department
huh?
of Correction orange. You know what I'm saying?
Prison
number. Chris, sign with a license plate. We're going to give away license plates and your DVD at the same time. It's going to be amazing.
Hilarious.
And again, we're giving away copies. So as you listen, after you become available, as you call into the show, you will be getting Andrew Hopkins CDs. You will be getting Shell T Funny DVDs. Pretty soon, we'll be able to see you on TV pretty soon, but we're not going to talk about that. Well, you know, as we're going out here, we're here every Saturday morning, afternoon actually, 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern, on the Craig Carlisle Show. Next week, we're going to have another special guest. We're not going to reveal who they are just yet. We're going to keep them under wraps until you see our social media feeds come up on Wednesday. But on the way out, Chris, would you pray for our people on the way out, all the listeners?
Yeah, for sure. God, you're so cool. You're so awesome. Thank you for your goodness that pursues us all the time. Lord, as we continue to live out our daily lives, I bless the listeners. I bless each person with an understanding of who you are and a more intimate level and more knowledge of who they are in you, Lord. Lord, I just speak blessings of progression in their spiritual growth and revelation of awe and wonder of who you are. Lord, continue to cultivate an understanding that we are more than conquerors. We're just not fighters, that we overcome anything and everything. And we are not fearful. We do not hold grudges or bitterness or anger. Hold fearlessness. We hold strength. And we hold the understanding of who you are in our lives. And that you're preparing us each day to be ministers of you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate it. Chris, Chel T, all those who have been listening, Catherine Harvell out there on hold, we love you all. We'll see you all next week.
I hope you've enjoyed our show today. We've had a blast doing it. Make sure you check out the Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, on blogtalkradio.com. If you've missed an episode, check out our archives. You won't want to miss it.